Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Drunk women solving crime.
Drunk women.
Oh, yes. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, it's almost as though none of us have ever used chairs or tables before.
Good evening.
Welcome.
Slick, slick, slick.
Well, we never want to be the first one to sit down, so let's see what happens. Welcome to the show. Well, we've got new muffs.
I did it. I'm back up.
maybe in the second show, who knows?
Pretty muff.
Oh my gosh, let's give a cheer for British springtime! Or, as I like to call it, white guys with no fucking shirts. It's too soon, guys. It's way too soon.
Oh, thank you for coming and joining us in this windowless room. So thank you very much indeed. Give me a cheer if you like drinking. Give me a cheer if you like women. Give me a cheer if you like crime. You've come to the right fucking place. Because actually, I noticed that if you Google this place and you go on like Apple Maps, it takes you to Stringfellows instead. So, I mean... But if anyone in the wrong place, stick around for a bit, see what you think. And
I always wanted to open a place called String Cheese Fellows. For people who appreciate string cheese. Anyway, hi, I'm Taylor. Nice to meet you.
If you don't already know us, this is Detective Asshole, Taylor Glenn.
Hi. I'm starting to veer into Detective Valium, though.
Valium, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
As your career progresses.
As my career progresses, I moonlight as a nun. Anyway.
And this is Detective Sasshole.
Whee!
Okay, well, expect some sass tonight. If you're not, if you don't know the podcast, there's bitches sassy. So watch out. But what we're going to do is we're going to start with what we do every podcast is we say this is an alcohol thing meets a crime thing. So this is where Jacob's Creek meets Jonathan Creek.
Oh!
Yes.
Thank you, yes. Oh. It's where a Merlot meets a Poirot. Yes, thank you for going with me.
That works.
And it's where a special brew meets Nancy Drew. I said that to Taylor because she's American, and I'm like, she's the only person who will know who that is. But everyone knew. It's a true crime podcast with a twist
of life.
Oh, wow, wow. Well, without any further ado, let us get our guest on for you this evening. So please put your hands together for writer and actor Abigail Burdett.
Yay!
Woo! Abigail! Woo!
Yes! Oh, yes!
Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, guys.
She's got a Jack Daniels and Coke and a Prosecco.
I know, I'm trying to decide.
Abigail, how are you?
I'm all right today. I think I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm looking forward to sharing my true crime stories with you.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I mean, let's kick off. The question we always ask on this podcast is, have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I have been the victim of so many crimes. I'm going to do the story of the theft of a box of chocolates.
Oh. Yeah. Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a story that was taking you all the way back in the mists of time.
Ooh.
To when I was 8 years old and I was at boarding school. Okay. And
so this was the 90s.
Yeah.
It's really good podcast face, we call
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Gotta come to the live shows.
Yeah. The box of chocolates was stolen from where it was kept in the study of the housemistress who ran my boarding house.
Okay.
So theoretically, this box of chocolates belonged to all of us. All of us. It was communal property. But it was kept in the housemistress's study.
I'm trying, just okay. thinking, like, all okay. I know about, like, private school is yeah. if this was all boys' school, they would have jizzed all over those chocolates.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was the point. The point of this box of chocolates was to demonstrate that she held it in full view of all of the children who went past, was to demonstrate that we were whipped.
See,
and
yeah.
we would never steal them because we were under her control.
No, you know, see, I'm getting flashes of Animal Farm. Yeah. I'm getting flashes of Miss Trunchbull. This story has everything.
Okay, like, it is Miss Trunchbull. She was Miss Trunchbull.
Yeah.
She was like, she was the most evil woman. Like, obviously, my memory of her is kind of through the prism of the darkness of being sent away to boarding school when you're 8 years old.
That's a lie.
All I'm hearing is that there are chocolates there. Yeah. So far, so good.
Yeah, but she was evil. Like, she, in my memory, like, grass turned black when she walked past. Like, birds dropped out of the sky.
Yeah.
She was finally fired for making the children, the 7-year-olds and 8-year-olds, walk in the snow barefoot.
No!
Yeah, this was like, it was like Do the Boys Haunt. It was dark. It was a dark place. Okay.
Yeah.
So the function of the chocolates was to make sure that we were
right
under control.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
There's a lot of crimes happening here.
I'm stuck, but wow, barefoot in the snow.
I know.
The sad part is that took the one parent who gave a shit that year. Like, that had probably been happening for decades, but there was one family who was like, I'm sure Timmy's benefiting from this.
It wasn't a parent. It was another member of staff who finally talked her in. And they were like, do you know what? I feel like it's gone too far.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Anyway, so the box of chocolates was stolen. So obviously this was like a major ruckus because it proved that somebody was, you know, rebelling.
Was not whipped.
Yeah, somebody was not whipped. And so they're like, oh, this is terrible, it's terrible, terrible news. This box of chocolates has been stolen.
Bruce Bogtrotter.
This is like full on.
Yes. With the cake. In Matilda, he eats a slice of cake.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
There we go. There's a lovely running theme, yeah.
Great. So, I believe them. So, they found some of these chocolates almost immediately in the pockets of my friend Philippa.
Oh, no.
Oh, Philippa, you dirty bitch.
Yeah.
No good for Philippa.
Yeah, but
they've been planted.
It was a plant. It was a plant.
Oh, my God.
Who would put them right in their pocket?
Exactly. Who would leave chocolates in their pocket? Plus, it was in like an open cloakroom. There's an open cloakroom area.
Come
so they decided, let's punish Philippa. We're going to punish Philippa. by making her spend all of her money on a box of chocolates to replace it.
Wow.
And then we're going to give those chocolates to all of the other children, and they have to eat them to prove that they support this fascist regime.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
They're going to have to eat that.
The kid with the peanut allergy is just like, fuck. Okay.
Yeah.
This is so messed up.
Yeah, to do that commitment to the status quo, to prove it, you have to eat the chocolate.
This is really fucked up.
Okay, so this is the point in the story where I come in. I'm the hero. and I was like, we don't have to eat the chocolates, guys. When they hand them out, what we're going to do is we're going to have a revolution.
Yes. All right, Che Guevara, you go.
If they were rebels, it would be a revolution.
It would be even better.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right to clap. You're right to clap. Yeah.
Oh, we have that kind of audience in tonight. Okay, it's good. Good to know.
And I'd like to. We are clearly dealing with some trauma here as well. And I'm just like, what are chocolate bars that could be puns? So sorry. So you were leading the resistance.
Yeah, so I was leading the resistance. And the way we were going to do the resistance was that we were all going to say the following phrase.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I had a rather large lunch.
Oh, wow. Yeah? That's your I'm Spartacus.
That was our I'm Spartacus.
No, I had a rather large lunch. Again, come to the live show. That was very good.
And we all stood up.
For the listeners, there was some standing. It was good. It was good. I didn't participate.
Do you think that was just some bloke sat down going like, I'm not Spartacus, actually. Yeah. Can't be fucked.
I'm so confused right now.
So it happened, and the Spartacus moment happened, and it was honestly the most...
And they did it! Everybody did it!
No, they did it. They did it. They all did it. Everyone went around. I had a rather large lunch.
Yay.
And I saw this evil witch, this fucking witch, who just whipped her, and I saw her get angrier and angrier. She realised, she was like, they're rebelling!
Yeah!
They're rebelling! She went, puce, and she stormed out of the room, and then she came back, and she went, right! No James Bond film at the end of term. And then we were allowed to see one film a term, and it was a James Bond film. Inappropriate, you might suspect.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. 8-year-old girls. Yes.
Yeah.
No James Bond film at the end of term. No. And so everyone immediately went, oh, heavy chocolate. I had quite a small lunch actually.
Oh no, they sold their souls for octopuses.
That is my story about how I learned that people are bastards.
Wow.
Oh my God.
What a tale.
That is an amazing story.
And the only people who didn't eat the chocolate were me, obviously the hero of the story.
Yes.
And Philippa, who was allergic to chocolate.
Oh my God. It's like, there's so much to unpack here.
Okay, sorry. It's a long story.
They planted it.
But like, why weren't the school trying to get to the bottom of who framed Philippa? Because that's some bullying shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's probably the witch. Oh my God, she was testing everyone.
She was just testing everyone just to make sure we're down. We never rebelled again.
Oh man.
But it is, look, chocolates. And James Bond films, bread and circuses, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that is what you need to stop the proletariat rebelling. Fucking bread and circuses.
Yeah.
She's read her Juvenile. There you go.
Reference
to a very intellectual thing there.
I still also can't believe that was the least sad story. that's still a really hot, like a brilliantly horrible story.
Sorry.
That's a great crime.
Is that too dark?
No, it has everything.
The whole time I've been desperately wanting to open another bottle of Prosecco,
but you can't.
And then she abused some more children. Also, the whole time I've been trying to think of chocolate James Bond puns, and I've got puns, and I've got nothing. I was like, Choctopussy, yes. Okay. For the podcast though, let's pretend that didn't happen, and I'll say it. You have it. Wow.
Live and let die.
Go.
Live and let die.
Live and let die.
Okay.
I like it. Oh, is that
That's my favorite sweet. What's your name?
I'm Rosie.
Oh my god!
For the listeners.
Oh no!
Katie has
basically exploded in my my crotch. It looks like I wet myself. It feels like I wet myself.
This is the opening scene in Choctopussy.
I'm going to be squelchy for some time.
I mean, you couldn't have gotten it straighter on your vulva.
Damn.
That was just...
There is no sanitary pad for that.
There is...
I mean, it was foaming right around the seam of her jeans. It was amazing.
I was recently put up for a tenor lady advert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay.
And my agent phoned me up and she was like, would you like to... I know most people won't do them, but... You'll probably do it, right? You'll probably do the tenor lady.
When does it come out?
Yeah, exactly. Didn't get it.
Oh, that's even worse, isn't it? Oh, I remember my boyfriend's an actor, and he went for a role in Holby City of Man with a Tap Up His Ass. And he went into the audition, and they were like, "We're so sorry about this." And he was like, "I think it's hilarious." They gave him the part, and he got a mixer tap pulled out of his anus on primetime television by a Redgrave. So yeah, brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Oh, Katie, your poor crutch.
You are absolutely sodden.
I mean, I'm wearing black, so
and some darker black. They're like chaps, rocket.
We asked this question on the podcast as well, and we asked, what would you say to that person now? So the woman, the mistress, the house mistress.
She was the real one who committed the crime.
Yeah, I feel like she is the one.
I think if I said what I'd say to her, that would be literally like the therapy scene where someone's going, what are you going to say to your mother? I can't really express any of that. But I'd say to whoever stole the chocolates, I'd be like, go for it.
Yes.
You did the right thing. Sometimes a crime is the right thing to do.
Yes.
Sometimes you should commit a crime because the laws are wrong.
Yeah. The laws are wrong.
Do you know what? That brings us actually quite nicely into our true crime of the day. So, are you ready for some true crime? Oh, yes. Today, we are discussing a chap called George Remus. And George was a high achiever. I don't want you to hate him already, but he was...
Nerd alert.
He was born in Germany in 1878, and his family moved to Chicago when he was 4. He started working in his uncle's pharmacy when he was 14, graduated from the Chicago College of Pharmacy aged 19. I was literally just getting fingered behind a bus stop at this age. Actually behind a pharmacy, genuinely, Boots went there. Anyway, and bought the pharmacy from his uncle, aged 21.
Oh.
George, what is going on? He was a competitive swimmer, and he set the endurance swimming record in Lake Michigan, remaining in the water for 5 hours and 40 minutes in winter weather.
Oh, boy.
Wow. So my first question to you is, what the fuck has he done by the time he's 24?
Well, hopefully filled the black hole that he's trying to fill with all this... with all this overachieving.
Absolutely spot on. Have we any advance on black hole?
Up there.
No. Okay, it's black hole. Do you know what? He didn't do that, Kate. He didn't go and get therapy like he should have done. He got bored of the pharmacy business and retrained as a lawyer.
Okay.
Oh, we're not sure.
I get very wary of second career lawyers. There's just something about that. Now it's time for law school. It just feels...
Now it's time to truly...
Now I can get vengeance.
Well, he represented some really high-profile cases, mostly murderers, and he pioneered the temporary insanity defence.
Ooh.
Which I needed when I bought some clots from Etsy.
That is it. Fuck's sake. It's a great defense.
Yeah. Oh, just for a minute.
I was mad, I'm fine. I was mad for a bit, but now I'm fine.
Just some temporary madness.
Why? Will we get into that perhaps? Why was he the one that.
I don't know. I think he was like, I'm not getting enough murderers off, and I need to sort of just decide, oh, they just went bonkers for a bit.
It's a great idea, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad.
What about just being temporary evil? I was evil. Now I'm back to normal.
Yeah, it's still caused by trauma, and it's gone.
Yeah.
But things he moves on from temporary insanity. In the 1920s, Prohibition is happening. And George moved on from murderers and started to represent bootleggers. And he does something you may not expect a lawyer to do. What did he do?
All right.
Did he hang out with Al Capone all the time?
Okay.
He's just, I'm with Al. What are you going to do about it? I'm with Al.
Get Al. Friends in high places.
Well, it's something you wouldn't expect a lawyer to do.
Yeah.
So you would expect a lawyer to do the opposite of the time.
Katie really likes to be right on the podcast.
I was just telling the truth in. A lot.
Did
like political comedy?
That is the correct reaction to any political. If any of us do anything vaguely political, I give you permission as an audience.
I think he became a bootlegger, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah. Ding, 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 ding.
He escalated the bootlegging to opium, like in Peaky Blinders.
Basically, he saw just how much money these bootleggers were making, and he's
third career.
He's going to be a stand-up in about 10 years' time. he moves on. So he just thought, I want a bit of that. So how come do you think this guy specifically, became such a good bootlegger? If you say good bootlegger, he was a great murderer, because he was considered one of the best bootleggers in the whole of Chicago.
Oh.
But what is it about this guy that makes him good?
Did he swim with all the barrels of whiskey?
He's amazing at brewing the German lager because of his German background.
He's got the heritage.
Yeah. Heritage, is that right?
Yes, they do learn that age 3 in Germany.
Yes, they do.
He comes to win, so he's going to be very methodical about this. He's going to know where the exits are. He's going to know the lay of the land. He's going to be like the chicken man in Breaking Bad.
Chicken man?
You know, the guy that runs the chicken restaurant, but secretly... I know he has another name, but I can't remember it right now.
I wish it had just been the chicken man. Oh my God, he blew half the chicken man's face off.
I'm the one who clucks. It wasn't him that said it, but...
You can see the chicken man's skull, oh my God.
Katie, I'm going to give it to you because basically what it was is because he's a lawyer and stuff, loopholes. He found
a loophole. He knows where the loopholes are.
Right.
Yes.
But also swimming.
Yeah. But he swam, right?
So the National Prohibition Act, known as the Volstead Act, basically set out what you could and couldn't do during Prohibition. And George read the thing front to back. And in Title II, Section 6, I think you all know your Volstead Act.
You tell me what it said.
It said, no one shall manufacture, sell, purchase, transport, or prescribe any liquor except...
Medical liquor.
Ooh. Is that what you call a bottle of wine at your house?
That's what I say to my husband. I'm just having some medical liquor.
It's medicinal.
Except
in Chicago.
Children are allowed to have liquor.
Oh, that'd be great if all the children just off their faces for the whole of the 1920s.
Except at Christmas.
Wondering, was it like a religious thing? Were you allowed to use it in religious ceremony?
The communion wine.
Also on like reservations.
Thinking.
Okay. You're allowed to gamble and stuff.
Okay.
I preferred my racist German ideas.
Actually, you got it right straight away, but I wanted you all to dig that hole, so thank you. It said, except that a person may, without a permit, purchase or use liquor for medicinal purposes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Medical liquor.
And of course...
Medical liquor!
Well, George was a trained pharmacist, so this helped. He knew loads of doctors, knew they'd have to get their liquor from somewhere, so he buys a few drug companies, just as you do. He buys the drug companies. And doesn't do much more than provide the alcohol, because they were legally allowed to provide booze. So what do you think booze...
I love the idea.
Well, so I'm just picturing my pharmacist doing that. Well, he's a really nice guy, but you wouldn't really expect him to like run a massive drug company. It's kind of a self-effacing guy.
Just the optics behind going, do you want a double?
I'm just picturing a bar, like you walk in.
Hello, Mr. Torrance.
There's something quite weak about the word pharmacist, isn't there? Like, pharmacists sound like a good person.
Yeah.
Sounds like someone who's a law-abiding person, you don't think?
And now it's like a euphemism for speakeasy. But this is also kind of what they did with cannabis to start with, isn't it? When they were legalising it in America, it's like, I've got anxiety. Can I have two bottles of gin, please?
So what else do you think? So we think anxiety, perhaps, it was used to be prescribed for?
Oh, you've asked, what were the ailments?
Yeah, what were you prescribing booze for?
I reckon it was anything to do with being female.
Yeah, period cramps.
Yeah, your womb was somehow driving you crazy, so you were allowed to have gin.
Hysteria.
Well, this is actually what I wondered. Was there a bias towards men in this? So impotence.
Oh.
Nothing helps impotence like booze. Do you know what I mean, though? Like, I wonder if it was favoring men over women. I don't know.
Well, during the 1920s, 11 million prescriptions were written every year. Every
11
year,
11
million for booze. And one alcohol that advertised itself as medicinal claimed to aid digestion. Yeah. I mean, that's a bit like, I want my dinner to go down, doctor. Help.
Aid digestion, you'll get the shits.
You will.
I've got indigestion.
I mean, it does aid digestion.
I mean, I certainly have the beer plops. Yeah.
I'm guessing it was strengthening medicine. I reckon there's like people who are trying to build muscle and they drank to build muscle.
Dosing. Yeah.
Part of why there's these vintage, like Guinness is good for you and all these vintage things? I mean, that probably wasn't.
Oh, yeah, protein. Like the whole.
Oh, iron. Protein. Oh, I love a chicken beer.
What are the things they have at the gym?
The chicken man. Try the chicken man protein drink.
I actually would try it once.
You're meant to drink Guinness, though, aren't you? When you're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
That's what I was told.
Yeah. That's legit. I don't want to hear anything against that.
That's true. Yeah.
It says it heals intermittent fever.
Okay.
And my very favourite is it eliminates thirst.
Wow.
Most genuine selling point.
Wow. Okay.
I know. Except in the middle of the night where it makes you very thirsty indeed.
Yeah, I was going to say, it so doesn't.
I mean, it makes you forget that you were thirsty.
Yeah, thirsty for like affection. The point is...
Maybe they meant thirsty.
Drunk women solving crime.
Hey, have you ever wondered how you could support us just that little bit more in exchange for some nice, tasty benefits? Not those kinds of benefits, but they're pretty good. Check us out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. And one of the things you'll get is a shout out from yours truly. It's always melodic and delightful, like this one.
All right, these are our patrons. We got Emma Rydell, we got Maureen, Athea Rahman, Sarah Onye, Juliet Hutchins, these are our patrons! These are our patrons! Patrons!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
So, of course, you know, for George, just legally providing pharmacists and doctors with booze, that's not going to make him a millionaire. And this guy wants the big money. So what he does, he needs to start selling this shit illegally. So how does he do it? It's quite, yes, he does, yes, he does something illegal. And that's what makes him be able to start properly bootlegging. Because at the moment, he's just legit.
He qualifies as a doctor.
Qualifies as a doctor.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, like says he's a
so
doctor.
So he can sell it medical liquor.
Yeah, he cuts out the middleman by saying he's a doctor.
I love third career doctors.
I mean, that's
the guy
career.
Who really wasn't sure.
That was my friend Katie. Didn't you go to a doctor? And then he said, like, he was like, what's your job?
I saw a doctor once, guys. And this is like my mum goes, tell them.
Yeah, yeah. Do the dance, Katie. Don't They'll be love shy. It. Do your little dance.
Tell them your story. They want to hear it. It was a lady doctor.
Do you mean gynecologist or just a female doctor?
Oh, God, I can't even remember what I was in for. But basically, she went through the form and was like, my job was writer. And she went, oh, my God, you're a writer. That's my dream. And I went, isn't your dream to be a doctor?
always tickle me. Okay, guys, do we know how he starts doing it illegally?
Hey, wait, so we've got...
Becomes a doctor. I'm thinking like a kind of Dr. Dre, Dr. Fox kind of vibe.
He gets elected as whatever official makes the laws and he changes the law so he can do it.
Ooh. That's interesting.
Does he get Canadian citizenship so he can work both sides?
Ooh, that's a twist as well. I want to say he... wait, I had it.
This is how the real police force works, by the way.
And also the real police are covered in Prosecco and really distracted by their squelchy wet bums.
It must be so cold.
Oh. It's got cold. This bit's warm anyway.
I'm just picturing the police. You know, they have the big boards with the, you know, everything's connected with the string.
Yeah.
We're all going to look at how this picture connects with this. And they're going, I got it. Got it.
It's just like that. I was gonna say the temporary insanity thing.
Oh.
He starts prescribing alcohol for temporary insanity, maybe.
Oh, do you know what? These are all good guesses, but they're absolutely wrong. But does not
Did
mean they're
not.
Did
you say legal or illegal?
No, illegal. He's doing this shit illegally.
You know what? Sometimes I don't understand the question. I'm never going to win that way.
Basically,
the chicken man.
He would legally deliver booze to his own drugs company, but then he would hijack his own shipments.
Oh.
Right? So he'd know where they were going.
This is exactly like the chicken man.
Yeah.
The chicken man did that in Breaking Bad.
That's true. That happened.
He hijacked his own shipment.
Yes. Stop hijacking yourself.
He's still doing it.
And then, yeah, he'd sell that booze on the black market that was meant for his legitimate thing.
Whoa.
So, and also, as he worked as an attorney for so long, because he'd been an attorney for, like, I think, 20 years by the time this was happening. So he knew quite a few people at the top, and he knew the police. And at the height of his bootlegging empire, how many people do you think were on his payroll?
100.
100? Dare I say, sweet, innocent Katie Wilkins there? It's a little
how
bit more.
How many people on his payroll? Okay,
1,500. 1,500, beautiful, sweet, innocent Taylor Glenn. Bring it home, Abigail.
Never been called that.
I'm going for 14,000 people were on his payroll.
Well, ridiculous, Abigail. Do you know what, guys? I was being cruel. It was 3,000 people. Yeah.
That is a lot.
And in
that is a lot of dental coverage.
I would have managed that.
Wow.
In 3 years, George made $40 million.
In the 20s?
Well, I think that's the equivalent today, to be fair. Yeah. But I sort of wanted to sex it up, I'm not telling you.
I'm way less impressed.
The next question, I'm sure, on all your lips is, did George like to party? And you bloody bet he did.
Oh, baby.
His most infamous party being his 1921 New Year's Eve party. Now, he'd been granted a divorce from his first wife and had just married the woman he was having an affair with.
Oh, boy.
What a fairy tale. So this was Augusta Holmes. And at this lavish party, they bought every female guest. They gave every female guest something to take home. It wasn't COVID, which is generally
what you get. I was going to say syphilis. Yeah.
The 1920s COVID.
Yeah.
So what was it? What did they give?
Gonna party like it's 1921.
A what?
Diamonds. They gave him.
Diamonds.
He's gonna give them a diamond brooch.
Oh, that's a good guess.
You know, like at the BAFTAs.
Something to take home.
You might not know.
It's a diamond brooch at the BAFTAs.
Did you say you're diamante? It's diamante anyway.
iPod.
An iPod. But, like, it's full of, like, George's favourite songs.
Some luggage.
Did they each get a car?
Ooh.
Oh, my God, yes! Yeah!
Yay!
Again, this is what happens in the real, please. Someone gets it right.
Oprah Winfrey didn't invent it. She just perfected it.
Yeah.
Wow.
They got a brand new Pontiac car.
Wow.
How many female guests were there? Maybe it was all dudes and only two people got
cars. Yeah. We were both obviously just going, we would like to go to that party. We would be fine with whatever that's happening at that party.
I would like
to get a Pontiac. It's fine. Bootleg is fine. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Half a chicken head, no problem.
Oh, it'd suck if they ran out of cars, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the line going, everyone else got a fucking car.
You can have a slice of cake to take home.
No. Also, if you're that legend that stayed to the end of the party as well, you want to, like, not the people that leave first. Fuck those guys. It's me. It's me. So apparently,
that's
too much. He would give to charity and hand out like $100 bills to children. I mean, that's a bit creepy, is it not?
You know, the chicken man gave free chicken to the police.
Okay. So, basically. George, all good things come to an end. His bootlegging racket gets busted. He's busted by one of the guys on his payroll because the guy kind of sort of had to do it. Just imagine him going in like...
Maybe it's because the guy gave a $100 bill to his child. If the guy gave a $100 bill to my child, I would dob him in.
Yeah.
All right, creepy George.
That looks really fucking bad.
A car for every girl?
That's one thing. Yeah. That kind of pocket money for my kid, too far.
Yeah.
So he was accused of over 3,000 violations of the Volstead Act. I'm going to read them now. No, I'm not. He's found guilty and sent to the Atlanta Federal Penitentiary for 2 years.
Oh.
Yeah, that seems like I'd go to prison for 2 years for like $40 million, right? I'm not sure that's the moral, but... what I think this story gets interesting once he gets to jail.
Oh.
Because he meets a guy called Franklin Dodge. Now, that is a solid name, isn't it? And he tells Franklin Dodge that his wife, Augusta, has control of all of his money whilst he's in prison. He's just like, he gets close to this guy and he's like, well, all my money's tied up with Augusta.
Is Augusta the one he had the affair with?
Yeah, he's now married, yeah.
Yeah, he wouldn't be like asking his ex-wife, will you just...
No, I thought there might be the next one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a swordsman, but no, it was... it was her. Now, there is something dodgy, it turns out, about Franklin Dodge.
Oh, boy.
What do you think it is?
Oh, is he a reporter or like a cop or something?
Okay, reporter or cop?
Oh, like he's undercover?
Yeah.
Oh,
because then he can trace the money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this guy's got off lightly, it sounds like.
I wonder if he passes himself off as some sort of broker or, you know, I've got this great investment you can make, instruct Augusta to send all the money to Frank Dodge.
Ah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he just never pays for a round.
That is very dodgy. Yeah. Don't trust that guy. Yeah.
In the prison as well.
Yeah.
He does. He never pays for the toilet wine.
He was an undercover prohibition agent. So, okay, you got it.
Yeah.
Good job.
And he was there to gather that exact information about where the fucking money went.
Oh.
But, oh, bloody Dodge, rather than reporting it, What does Dodge do?
He tries to steal it.
He steals it. He
went in on it.
Yeah. I think he bangs Francesca and takes
Augusta.
Augusta.
Francesca. What's that?
Sorry.
Francesca's just his wife, and it's fine. It's really nice.
It was perfectly consensual.
And then and runs off with her with the money.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Right. I mean, ding 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 ding.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean.
Done.
We are such good detectives.
Welcome to the force.
Yes, he quits his job, starts having an affair with Augusta.
Wow.
That's because that's what I would do.
So obviously, George, absolutely fuming, of course he is. And when he gets out of prison, what do you think Dodge and Augusta do? Because they know he's only in for 2 years. They can't just, what do they do?
Ooh. Oh. Well, they've got to do something with that money within 2 years.
Okay.
To get it out of his... She has to divorce him, or they have to put it in a long-term investment.
Did he have an ISA?
I think it's not the ISA. I think they just garrote the guy.
Oh, yeah, just kill him. Just kill him.
That's... Don't bother with the ulcer. Just murder him, Katie.
I love that. I thought, I know.
Like, how do I do this in a tax-efficient way?
Criminals don't want to kill people. They want to invest in ISIS. Yeah.
Well, I just thought they'd have to disappear. I wasn't even thinking about that. I figured if she had control over it, she has control over
Back
it.
Back off to Canada.
She could just go... Hey, what are you talking about? It was always my money.
What money?
I've never seen you before in my life.
Oh.
You're not him.
She takes a hit out on him. Is what she does, yeah. So you were right. You were right. Yeah.
She does.
So they pay
Augusta.
A hit. I know.
You saucy second wife.
Yeah.
That's what you get if you marry the one you're having the affair with, you see.
Yeah.
Take out the hit.
That never ends well.
Well, I mean, and also she only paid...
Judgmental. We're just being extremely judgmental.
They should remake the, you know, the First Wives Club. We need a Second Wives Club. Oh. Where all the second wives kill the first husband. No, anyway, sorry.
Then a third wives club where the third wives kill the second wives.
And the fourth wives are just really happy.
Okay.
And it's just really lovely.
It really zen compared to the other wives.
So they pay a hitman $15,000 to take George out, but he doesn't follow through. Why?
Because he gets paid off by George. Yeah.
Gets paid off by George?
I agree with that one.
That's right. George kills him first.
Oh, well.
He pulls out those sweet swimming moves. It's always going to come back to
George. Seduces him and makes him the third.
That is a twist.
Oh. That is a twist. Well, it's that he thought... The hitman thought he might be double-crossed. He's like, this is George Remus. This is your man.
I think
like,
I love you, so why are you trying to kill me? I guess my wife sent you.
So he tells George about the plot. He says, look, they're trying to kill you, dude.
Oh.
I imagine, or something similar. That's not...
But in 1920s speak.
Yeah.
He's trying to bump you off.
How would you do that in 1920s speak?
Did he get paid up front? And then he did that.
That's a good question, because that would be a great hitman, being like, give me 15 grand, and I'm going, I'm a bit scared of your husband, bye. So basically he told George about the plot and said, so Augusta files for divorce, something happens on the way to court on the day they're getting divorced.
She
what
gets
happens?
Killed.
How?
By a speeding car, a Pontiac.
Or a Dodge.
Dodge. That was great.
Franklin Dodge. Oh, just
wasted here. Wasted.
There's always the listeners.
Okay. They might enjoy
That's
it.
What I tell myself every show. The listeners, they like me in there. If you don't.
I love that. Hello. We really nailed the podcast for this.
Taylor has friends in the microphone.
How does she die? Is that the question?
How she dies, because she does die.
Okay. I think she kills herself.
Ooh.
She's stricken with remorse for the terrible wife she's been.
I don't think she does kill herself.
No, that's a bad idea.
I guess George probably sends a hit on her.
Well, George sends himself.
Oh,
he kills her.
Yeah, he has a driver chase down the car carrying Augusta because he knows that she's on the way to the thing. Her daughter is in the car. He forces her off the road in a park and jumps out and just shoots her.
Whoa.
Yeah, I mean...
God, he seemed like a really nice guy up until now.
Yeah. So...
I'm so confused. How are we supposed to tell if guys are okay?
This guy is not okay. So George is back in court for murder. What defense do you think he uses?
Temporary insanity!
Yeah.
Yes! Swimming! This is crazy.
Yeah, I know.
This is a great case.
Thank you.
Why don't we learn this in school? I would have paid attention. Seriously.
So he pleads temporary insanity. The defense that he invented all those years ago, he said it was due to his distress at his wife's betrayal. The jury agree with that. Because bitches be crazy. And you know.
It's very distressing when your wife steals $40 million and tries to kill you. To be fair.
Yeah, I'd just about be at the end of my tether if that happened to me. So the jury agree and they acquit him. And I don't think he planned for this. He's committed to an insane asylum.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's kind of like that's...
Wah, wah.
Swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Careful what you pioneer, guys.
How long's he in there for?
So he was freed after 7 months.
Oh.
Which is, it's funny, I mean, I smell a sitcom, really. him just there for 7 months. So he never went to jail for his wife's murder. Because
Seven months in an insane asylum instead.
Yeah, essentially. He moved to Kentucky and died of a stroke on January 20th, 1952, at the age of 73.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the end of George Remus's story. So here's, I guess, to booze being legal now. Cheers.
Yay!
Well,
why isn't he on Mount Rushmore? So many questions. Jeez Louise.
Now comes the time in the podcast where we answer a listener crime. Now, we have one lined up for tonight. I'll see you there, Jenny. Are you coming up? Come on. Give Jenny a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Jenny, go ahead.
So, this is my fucking story. I'm sorry, bear with me. I'm just saying more so, bear with me. So, I was minding my business as you do on Instagram. And I got a message from a guy who I thought was from the poetry which I go to. And I went there twice so far, not more than that. He told me his account was locked, right? Or hacked. I don't remember now, it's been a long time. I needed a link to his... He needed access to a link or something.
So he sent you a link.
That was after.
Right, okay. Yeah. So you don't know him. He's followed you on Instagram. He sent you a link.
Yeah.
I don't like where this is going. I don't like where this is going at all.
Basically, he asked my number.
It's really hard not to click on a link, though, right? It's right there.
He asked my number, then he sent the link. So that's fine.
No. Very good question.
Important question. That's pertinent to the case. Between a stalker and a husband.
was. And I tried to get into my account, and he looked me out. He blocked me.
Oh.
He blocked you.
He blocked me and all my accounts. So I have three accounts.
Wait, are you... You have three Instagram accounts.
Because I have a private one, a reading one, and my own fashion one.
Okay.
I have three accounts.
Roxina, you have three accounts.
No, I have my own. I count Drunk Women as one, and my dog has one. Rollo the Great, check him out.
And he blocked me, and then I didn't use my disabled card yet, and he didn't even care. He was like, I'm gonna block you now, so go away. And then he was like, okay, so I said, okay. So I was looking on YouTube on how to get my account back. So I went through this, and I found a YouTuber who basically had his account hacked by the same person. He was from Nigeria.
Right, okay. So has he blocked you out of your account?
Yes.
He's got into your account because of the link that you pressed. Yes, because they sometimes do that, don't they, on Facebook, that you'll get a message from someone you went to school with who's now a bit racist, and you're like, I should have got rid of you anyway. And then it'll say, oh my God, is this picture you? And I'm like, well, it might be. I might look amazing. And then I'm like, oh, and now you've sent a Ray-Bans advertisement to all my friends, okay.
Is this shocking video you? I'm like, probably, let's watch it.
Oh. Oh no, and then you get hacked.
Yes. Bless, so you've been
YouTube
hacked.
For being the solution to everything though. Like
And now I go back obviously, but you know, so I wanted to ask this person why he's hacking so many accounts, but I've seen so many accounts hacked in the last 2 months or so.
Oh.
And then what does he gain from? Because he hardly did anything to the account. He just changed the name, the email address. I don't know why he did it in the first place, but I want to ask him why he did it in the first place.
Yeah.
Why did he do it? Good question. I mean, I've said this before, we will find him and kill him.
Well, what?
Like, I mean, that's what we do here. So.
Yeah, that's our side hustle.
Yeah, it's just a front.
It's a front for the
Charlie's Angels like, style revenge.
Vigilante. Yeah. We're secretly vigilantes. How many followers?
Tonight we've learned what to do and what not to do when you put a hit on somebody. And this is why we do
that. That's true, actually. I have a question. How many followers does this account have?
My account, has 300.
Okay.
400.
And then when he changed all the like email and everything, did he start like advertising stuff to your followers? He just locked you out and didn't do anything.
No?
He was just doing it to be a dick.
Yeah.
That's even worse. Like literally, if someone had taken literally got into all my accounts, taken all my money, I'd be gutted. But if they just did it and just went. I'd be like, that would annoy me more.
I know.
No, we will kill him. Yes.
What a waste of talent, too. Like,
yeah.
But, so what was the profile picture? I'm interested. Was he fit?
I didn't see him. I didn't know who he was.
Okay.
Because the guy that he hacked. He hacked the guy that.
Right. So it was already like a front for another front.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah.
Oh no, I'm liking him now.
Yeah. So mercurial, Hannah.
Yeah.
Great to be honest. Oh, wait a minute. No, I think that was me. Oh, I'm so sorry.
I was the original hacker.
I found on my Instagram account that the guy who. Yeah, so I saw the account that he added into my account, and I didn't know if it was his name Taylor or something. I'm not sure.
His name was Taylor. Was it?
I need the restroom.
I don't know. I don't remember now, but it was a long time ago now, so I don't remember everything. But you know.
Well, I mean, we don't normally solve things here, but I mean, it was Taylor.
We solved it. Sorry. We've got a drink.
Do you? I seem to remember you don't drink, but do you want to be very popular with one of your friends? Yeah. Or I believe last time you were going to give it to her dad, and is your dad hot? I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Let's give a round of applause, Jenny.
Thanks, Jenny.
Well, I mean. literally, I mean, I know you guys are going to have like a break, maybe a drink, a wee or a poo, but I'm going to find this guy and kill him. So I've got a busy break, but please stick around. You've got like half an hour to have a drink and a wee and a poo. And then we're coming back. I mean, you must have a wee and poo. I will be checking. And then
we have just enough time to ask Abigail what the hell she's up to, Hannah George.
Abigail, what's the name of the private school you want to promote? No, I'm joking. Tell us everything.
I was a scholarship child. I just like to point that out. Thank you. I was not there voluntarily. I was sent. No. I don't have. What do you want to? Actually, there is a link. I can do a link.
Yes, please.
The protagonist of my book, which will soon be available. Also, went to boarding school on scholarship. I don't know where I get my ideas from. I've got a book out, but it will be out Mother's Day next year. So hopefully people will be listening to this in the future. Called Mother's Day, and it is a thriller. A very dark thriller. You know the way I started this by going like, I'm going to tell a light story. That's kind of, the book's quite dark. So it's about a woman who finds her biological mother. She was abandoned as a baby and she finds her biological mother.
Oh, wow.
And then the biological mother turns out to be, is she everything you've ever dreamt of? Or is she?
Oh. Yes.
Yeah. Very nice.
Wow.
That
Hello.
Sounds great.
And also you have a podcast as well, The Female Pilots Club.
We do a podcast called The Female Pilot Club, which has sitcoms written by women, and we interview the writers, and you hear lots of clips from the shows with top comedy talent on board. So, yeah,
Yay.
It's fun.
Brilliant. Yay. So, ladies and gentlemen, have that wheel poo. Give it up for Abigail
Thank you, guys. Woo. We'll be back shortly.
Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman with music by The Lion and the Wolf. You can follow us on Twitter at Drunk Women Pod and Facebook and Instagram at Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a petty crime you want us to solve, then write it in a review and we'll solve it. Thank you to Acast and thank you for listening.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.